Okay, welcome to Wake Up Productive. We're in week 7 now, and we're also in the third week. We're starting the third week of our second 30-day chunk. And what we're doing here is we're trying to add one new ritual every month, and we're going to have three of them added by the time we're finished with this program. So by now, you should have been consistently doing your 60-60-30 solution for about 2 weeks, and you should be getting the rhythm of that. And last week, we learned a little bit more about how to create routines and how to fine-tune our routines and turn them into rituals that really enrich our lives. And hopefully, you have been focusing your first two sessions at work every day on your biggest opportunity, and you've got a great ritual or routine around that at the beginning of your day. And hopefully, you're beginning to see the power of combining spending the first 90 to 120 minutes of your day making yourself strong and powerful, and then coming into your business and spending the first couple of hours working on your biggest opportunity. If you've been doing that consistently, you're probably seeing some dramatic results, and you're going to see much more over the coming weeks. In this session, I'd like to talk to you about a concept that I learned from Tony Schwartz, who wrote The Powerful Engagement. And it's a concept called getting out of the gray zone. So you might want to write that down. Get out of the gray zone. And the gray zone is that place that many of us live most of the time, where we're not really doing one thing completely, okay? The gray zone is the area of multitasking, of worry, of doing one thing for a little while and then stopping and starting and doing another thing. It's not a very clean way of doing things. It's a very muddled and gray way of doing things. And when you live in the gray zone, when you're in the gray zone with your life, what you're doing is you're never really getting as much leverage, power, enjoyment, and result as you possibly could. You're not getting as much as you could out of your life. When you're at work, you're thinking about things you should be doing at home. When you're at home hanging out with your family or talking to your friends, you're thinking about things you should be doing at work. When you lay down to go to sleep, instead of being able to relax and take some restful breaths as you drift off to sleep, you're thinking about what you got to do in the morning. And when you wake up first thing in the morning, instead of being able to open your eyes and naturally awaken, you're immediately thinking about all the stuff that you have to do today. That's the gray zone. That's where a lot of us are starting to live. And what we want to do is we want to learn to get out of the gray zone, take control of ourselves and our time and our attention a little bit more, and focus ourselves in a way that helps us get the most leverage, the most results, the most enjoyment, the most satisfaction out of our lives. And ultimately, as we move forward, get the things that we want. And what I found is that, you know, people who don't get out of the gray zone, who live perpetually in the gray zone, it starts to become their prison. It starts to become where they live all the time. It's their paradigm. It's their mental model. And they wind up getting less and less and less done and getting further and further and further away from what they want. So we're going to learn how to get out of the gray zone. We're going to learn how to focus ourselves even to the next level, and we're going to learn how to really get what we want in life. Now, as we've learned in this program already, some of the biggest problems that we face in life and in business are distractions and interruption and friction, both external and internal. And those things take our minds and they scramble them. They prevent us from cultivating the natural focus that is our natural power that we have, that we can use to get things done. And some of the biggest areas where we have distraction, interruption, friction, and so forth are in the areas of multitasking, where we're trying to do several things simultaneously. We're trying to juggle one thing after another. And when we are switching from one thing to another very quickly and not staying focused in one thing for a long period of time. Okay, this is kind of classic juggling too many balls, doing too much multitasking, and really living in the gray zone. So let's zoom in and focus on those for a moment and talk about why those are so dangerous. You've probably heard me mention, you know, Tim Ferriss, who wrote The 4-Hour Workweek. You know, he talks about how multitasking lowers your IQ more than smoking marijuana. Well, you know, these kinds of things, they tax the mind, and they rob us of our ability to stay on one thing until we get a lot of results out of it. And we want to figure out what are the mechanisms, how are they work, and then how do we put mechanisms in place that really do work and that help us stay focused and get what we want. Now, as you've heard me talking about these ideas, there may have been a part of you that said, yeah, but is it practical to work without interruptions? Is it practical to work without multitasking? And I think the answer is no, it's not practical to work without interruptions and without multitasking. What we've been talking about is the ideal state. In reality, when you're working in an environment with other people and you have telephones and you've got email and you have other things, and sometimes things come up that are very important and they're urgent, sometimes you have to deal with interruptions, and sometimes you have to deal with multitasking, and sometimes you have to deal with a little bit of friction. What I found that is the challenge, though, is not really the multitasking or the interruptions themselves. It's that we let them become the paradigm. We let them become the norm, and we let them, this is the important part, we let them control us instead of us controlling them. When you hear that, you might also ask, well, how do you control an interruption? Or, how do you control multitasking? How does this work? So what I'd like to do is introduce you to two ideas that you can use. They're actually ideas and techniques that go along with them that will allow you to get a grip on and get control of your interruptions and your multitasking, and eventually see them as being just a little part of what you do and not everything. See them as something that you control rather than as something that controls you. So here are the two ideas. Number one is called scheduling your interruptions. So you might want to write these words down. Schedule my interruptions. And what could you mean by that? That sounds like an oxymoron, right? It doesn't make sense. What I mean by that is that most interruptions come from people that are just activated, they're thinking short term, they're doing something urgent, it just popped into their mind and they want to call you. Most interruptions are not actually that important. They're not something that you have to respond to immediately. In fact, in a lot of cases, what you'll find is that if you make it so that people can't interrupt you as much, they will figure out how to solve the problem that they were trying to call you and get you to solve for them, if that makes sense. And so by scheduling your interruptions, what you do is you kind of say to the world, you say, I'm not really interested in being interrupted. In fact, I'm going to set it up so I can't be interrupted, except for during brief times. And if you want to reach me during one of those times. And I'm taking control of my life, you figure it out. So the way to schedule your interruptions is to set aside a couple of times during your workday where you're going to be available for incoming calls, incoming emails, incoming instant messenger messages, that kind of thing. So, you might start out by saying, okay, from 11 a.m. to noon and from 4 to 5 p.m., those are going to be my interruption times. And I'm going to schedule them. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put on my voicemail when people call me. It's going to say, hi, it's Evan. Thanks for calling. I can't take your call right now. I'm actually available for incoming calls between 11 a.m. and noon and 4 p.m. and 5 p.m. every day. I also try to make my outgoing calls during those times. So leave me a message and you can expect to hear back from me during one of those times. And if you really want to talk to me live, you want to reach me, just call between 11 a.m. and noon or 4 and 5 p.m. and you'll be much more likely to reach me then. Does that make sense? And then on your email, and I know several people that have done this, they have an autoresponder on their email set up that just says, hi, thanks for your email. I check my email between 11 a.m. and noon every day and then again between 4 and 5 p.m. So if this is urgent, if this is like really important, you can take this other step. You can call my assistant or you can send me a text message that says 911 or, whatever. You have to, you're too insecure about unplugging from the email. I think it's better to just say, hey, I'll get back to you between 11 and noon or 4 and 5 p.m. And thank you very much for your email. So what am I doing when I'm setting these up? Well, I'm scheduling my interruptions, but I'm also programming people that I'm not available at their whim. Another thing that I do, by the way, consciously, most of the time, I'd say, 80 or 90% of the time when I'm checking email, I try to consciously never respond right back to someone who emails me. Now, why would I not want to respond right back? because I don't want to program people that I'm available to them all the time, and I don't want to program them to expect me to email them back immediately. Does this make sense? This is the underlying issue here is not as much just the interruption here and there. The underlying issue is people getting programmed with, you know, kind of a social contract that you're interruptible and that you can be interrupted at any time, or that you're interrupting them and you expect them to get back to you very quickly. So using these two techniques that I just gave you, putting a message on your voicemail, putting one on your email that say, I check my email, I check my voicemail between 11 and 12 and 4 and 5, what you're doing is you're scheduling, in a way, you're scheduling your interruptions. Can be very powerful. The next technique I'd like to teach you here, I call enlightened multitasking. And you might want to write this down as well. Enlightened multitasking. I believe in this modern age that there's no way to escape multitasking. The reality is that we just have too many things going on. We have too many social relationships. If we're running a business, especially if we're running a business from home, there's too many things that are happening that we need to keep going all at once. We need to kind of keep all the balls in the air or all the plates spinning. So we need some times where we can check our email, make a quick call, do a little bit of research, make an adjustment to the calendar, get a few people on the instant messenger, and we need times when we can do all of this to knock these things out. But just like I think it's important to schedule your interruptions, I think it's important to schedule your multitasking as well. And do enlightened multitasking, which means sit down to multitask and say, what are all the things I'm going to multitask right now, instead of just doing it responsively, reflexively. In the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey talks about this idea of be proactive. Okay, being proactive. It's one of the habits of highly effective people. It's one of the important habits. And it actually takes years to really get what it means to be proactive. And being proactive is, in essence, the other end of the spectrum of being reactive. Most of us are reactive. That's how we run our lives. We're waiting for someone to trigger us into action. We're waiting for an email to come that says, do this, so we can go, okay, I know what to do, or someone to call us. And we get programmed with this and we get kind of addicted to it. That's why we always want to check our email. Oh, is there something that I can do? Is someone trying to get me to make me do something so I'll know what to do? And we answer our phone the same way. Is someone going to call me with some information that's going to trigger me into action? That's reactive mode. Well, Stephen Covey talks about becoming proactive, where we consciously say, you know what, I'm not going to be reactive most of the time. I'm going to be proactive. So just sitting down to do some multitasking, if you go into, okay, let me check my voicemail and check my email, and that's how I'm going to multitask, you're being reactive. You're being responsive. It's like everyone else out there has a little leash on you, and they're jerking on it, and you're going, oh, okay, now I know what to do. When you're being proactive, what you're doing is you're saying, I have a few things that I need to get done during this multitasking time. Of course, I'll respond to the others who need my help, and I'll get their needs met as well. But I'm going to be proactive because I'm on a mission. I know what I'm supposed to be doing today, and I know what I need to get done. I know what my top priorities are. So, you know, let's multitask in an enlightened and proactive way. So this is all about enlightened multitasking. It's about sitting down, scheduling your multitasking, and I recommend that you take those same windows when you're answering email, making outbound calls, taking inbound calls, that kind of thing, and do your multitasking in there because that's when it's happening. Put it in those same chunks of time. Okay, so we learned about two great techniques here. One is scheduling your interruptions and programming people that you're not going to be interruptible anymore. And, of course, you've got to stop interrupting people as well. And enlightened multitasking, where when we're going to do multitasking, we do it consciously. We have the time set aside to do it. We maybe set our timer, maybe do a 50-minute session of phone calls, interruptions, multitasking, do a little enlightened multitasking. And we do it proactively. where we consciously say, okay, I'm going to do this list of things during my multitasking session. I'm going to get these things done. And then I'll also respond to a few things, but I'm going to start with where I'm going to be proactive. And I'm going to notice where I'm being reactive unconsciously. These two techniques are very, very, very important for you to use. And you'll find that the more you use them, the more you program yourself and the more you program others, that you are effective, that you are proactive, that you consciously get things done and you don't just run around responding to everything. The next set of concepts that I want to introduce you to in this session have to do with managing your focus. And I call these concepts clean focus, clean cuts, and change channels. Clean focus, clean cuts, and change channels. And the idea here is that it's so easy in modern society, in modern culture, in modern life, to just process too many things and have your mind run off, right, with one of these inner butterflies that we talked about earlier. And it's too easy to get distracted while we're working on one thing and just start doing another thing and not realize that we're doing it. So these three concepts are going to help us conceptualize and understand, give us some models for how to manage our focus and our attention, and how to be more proactive with ourselves and with our focus to get the maximum done and to get the maximum enjoyment out of it as well. We want to get a lot of results, and we want to feel really good about getting those results. So the idea of clean focus is very important. And clean focus is about being focused on one thing at a time, all right? Having a cleanliness to our focus, having it be pure in a sense. And we do this by using 50-minute chunks of time, 50-minute blocks of time, and we set out our little digital timer and we go, okay, 50 minutes, I'm just going to focus on this one thing. And what we do is, when we're using clean focus, is we always are asking ourselves as we're moving forward, is my focus clean? Am I focused on this one thing? Am I really staying focused? And almost like a meditator, when we lose our clean focus, we just bring ourselves back to clean focus. We don't get upset about it. We don't judge it. We don't feel a lot of anxiety or get mad at ourselves. We especially don't want to talk nasty to ourselves in our heads. We don't want to use any negative self-talk. We just want to gently bring ourselves back. I just mentioned meditators to you. What meditation is about is quieting the mind, is settling down the mind, so that you have actually better focusing ability and better ability to be in the present moment. And one of the exercises that is commonly taught in meditation for beginning meditators is focusing on the breath and just noticing your breathing. And you just close your eyes and you can just follow your breathing. Don't try to control it. Don't try to judge it. And what you'll find is your mind just wanders off. It runs off and does different things. And when you see it, when you're learning meditation, when you see it do that, when you notice it, you go, oh, okay, and you just bring it back to your breathing. And it keeps running away, and you keep bringing it back, and it keeps running away, and you keep bringing it back. And the key here is to do it gently, without judgment, without getting mad at yourself, without getting upset in any way. That's really the trick to doing it. So when you're using clean focus, the idea here is to continually bring yourself back to clean focus, because focus is a muscle. It's something that we build. You may only be able to focus on something for 5 minutes at a time before you find yourself over checking your email or compulsively looking at your text messages or even realizing, oh, you know what, my phone keeps ringing. I've got to turn it off and have the experience, having the concrete experiential aha realization of, oh, that thing keeps coming up. And then you go, okay, come back to clean focus. And you gently, compassionately bring yourself back to focus. Okay, so the first of these three new ideas is clean focus, focusing our attention, our energy on one thing, and when we lose our clean focus, noticing it and gently bringing it back. The second idea that we're going to talk about here is clean cuts, clean cuts. And what we're trying to do with clean cuts is focus on one thing for a period of time, and then when we stop focusing on that thing, cut clean. So we're not bringing it with us. You heard me talking earlier about being at work and feeling like you should be at home with your family or hanging out with your friends or on vacation or being on vacation and worrying about your work or trying to go to sleep at night and not being able to stop thinking about all the stuff you've got to do tomorrow, that kind of stuff. That is a result of not having clean cuts. In one of the earlier exercises that we did at the beginning of this program, in one of the fast starts, we talked about the things that rob you of energy, and you made a big list of these things. Oftentimes in life, when we have these open loops that are, you know, more, let's just say, expansive and integrated into our life, these open loops and these things that are sucking the energy out of us, they're affecting everything. They're actually in every part of our life. And I mean, you know, something as simple as you have a bad relationship with one of your family members and there's tension there, and maybe you haven't talked to them in 6 months because you had a fight and it wasn't cut off cleanly. It wasn't wrapped up in some way and resolved positively or negatively, that there's this drain that's going on all the time. So you could never really cut away from that thing and on to the next. It's always operating in your subconscious mind. So everything from just working on something for a few minutes and then having a clean cut and moving to something else, to, you know, the bigger things in our lives, the wounds we have from when we were younger, the key relationships we have with family members, relationships we have with friends, work, that kind of thing. So in this case, I'm kind of blowing this up a little bit so you can see how important this idea is. But in this case, we're just going to focus theoretically on our focus chunks of time and on our rest chunks of time here. So using the 60-60-30 solution, we got these 60-minute chunks where we're trying to stay focused, and we've got this 30-minute chunk where we're trying to have a small meal and have a break. As soon as we're finished with one of our 60-minute chunks, and really what we want to do is work for 50 minutes and then take a little 10-minute break and then 50 minutes and 10-minute break, we want to have a clean cut. That's one of the reasons why I use the little digital alarm clock, little digital timer, so that at the end of 50 minutes it comes on and it beeps and I say, okay, time for a clean cut. I wrap what I'm doing and I cut and I go over and I do some stretching. I do a little bit of exercise. I drink some water. I take some breaths. Maybe I pick up a magazine that was interesting and had an article in it. Something to, you know, just cut completely from what I was doing over there. I really want to cut and stop doing what I was doing. It's important to do this and learn to discipline yourself to take your mind from one thing to the next thing and stop doing that thing. So that's the second of these three ideas. And then change channels. Change channels. That's the third idea here. And all three of these work together. They're a little combination that really works synergistically to make each other very powerful and to improve your power of focus. And changing channels is about switching from using the physical, the emotional, or the logical and trying to switch completely to another channel. So let's say that I'm trying to solve a very complex puzzle with my mind in a work situation. And let's say, just as an example, I'm sitting down and I'm writing some copy and I'm working on a sales letter for a product that I'm releasing. And I'm trying to figure out the right order to communicate all my ideas in so that they're the easiest to understand. And I've been working trying to fit these together, and it's been a strenuous mental exercise, and I've been working for a 50-minute session on that. My timer goes off, it goes beep beep, and I say, okay, cut. I want to change channels. So for that next 10 minutes, I want to be doing something physically, or I want to be doing something emotionally. I tend to go to the physical, where I go do some stretching or some yoga, or maybe even pick up my weights and just kind of get into my body a little bit, maybe even lay down on the floor and kind of relax my body, that kind of thing, because I tend to work standing up. Another thing I could do is call up one of my friends who's funny, who I enjoy talking to, and just have an emotional connection with another person, relate to another person, and totally change channels, just get into another zone completely, just for a short period of time. So hopefully you can see now how by having clean focus, by having clean cuts, and then by changing channels, that you could really improve the quality of each of the moments of your day and the quality of the work that you're producing and the results that you're producing as well. So use these three ideas: clean focus, clean cuts, and change channels. Okay, so let's do a couple of exercises now. What I'd like to do is to start out with the mindset of getting out of the gray zone. So let's do a little visualization here. Okay, go ahead and close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Get into a comfortable position. If you're sitting down, kind of maybe put your hands on your lap and just relax for a second. And what we're going to do is we're going to imagine the gray zone of our life. as a big ball of mixed up gray stuff. And in that gray ball are different size and color and shape chunks. And these chunks represent all the things you do in your life, in your day. So one chunk might be talking to someone in your family. Another chunk might be a work task that you do. A bunch of the other chunks might be answering emails, incoming phone calls. Another chunk might be your sleeping and relaxation time. Another chunk might be exercise. Another chunk might be your meals. See all of these different size and shape chunks all in a big gray ball in your mind. This is the gray zone of your life. And now what I'd like you to do is to mentally start sorting all of those different color and size chunks into piles. So if all of your meals are all one, you know, particular size and color or different sizes and colors, put them all in one pile. If all your sleep time is, different sizes and colors, put those all into one pile. And just go around and just, you know, play here. Mentally sort all of your gray zone activities into discrete chunks that are one color and, you know, kind of one size blob in your mind. Just go ahead and do that now. You might even want to, open your eyes and press pause and take as long as you'd like to do this, because it's important that you do this. There's an unconscious process that we're using here. So just go ahead and pause for a second if you need to. Take as long as you'd like to do this. Okay, good. Once you've got all of your different chunks sorted in your mind into different piles, now what I'd like you to do is imagine yourself cleanly focusing on one at a time. Going into one, doing it cleanly, having clean focus in that chunk, and then when you're finished, have a clean cut. Leave that and go on to the next thing and change channels completely. Go from one to a completely different channel, a different thing. Just do that exercise. You might also want to press pause and do that for a little while. Just rehearse in your mind, moving from one thing to the next to the next. Visualize yourself being completely immersed in one thing, having totally clean focus in one area, not focusing on anything else, and then moving to the next one. Go ahead and do that for a couple of minutes until you're really comfortable with it, until it really clicks for you. Next, it's time to incorporate enlightened multitasking and scheduling your interruptions into your day. And we know from experience now that we need to learn to do this, you know, regularly. So to start off with, what you might want to do is try one session of this. Okay, just try one session, maybe tomorrow, where you schedule your interruptions and your multitasking. Try to schedule it after your first 2.5 hour chunk, your first 60-60-30 at work. See if you can get into your work scenario, not check your email, not check your voicemail, not do any of those things that trigger you and make you become reactive, but go into work, be completely proactive for that first 60-60-30, and then after you've had that second healthy, nutritious meal of the day and you've been able to kind of relax for a little while, then come back and do however long you want to do, maybe an hour, maybe a 50-minute session of enlightened multitasking, where you're checking your email, you're checking your voicemail, you're making outbound calls, and see if you can know beforehand what it is that you want to accomplish. See if you can be proactive during that time. So the whole time, even though you're calling people back and you're looking at emails and so forth, you're always marching forward, getting something done. It has a purpose so that you feel like you are in control of it, not that it is in control of you. Huge key. So we've learned about getting out of the gray zone. We've learned about clean focus, clean cuts, and changing channels. We've learned about enlightened multitasking, and we've learned very importantly about scheduling our interruptions so we're becoming much more proactive in life and we're programming other people that we choose what we're going to do with our day. And finally, if you want some extra credit and you're ready for it, if your mind, your body, and your emotions are adapting okay to the 60-60-30 solution, add another 60-60-30 to your day after the first one. So what you're going to do here is you're going to come in, do a 60-60, you're going to have a nutritious meal and do a 30-minute recovery break, and then come right back and do two more 50-10s, right? Two more hour chunks focused on very high leverage activities. And then again, at the end of it, have a nutritious meal, take that 30 minutes to just tune out, relax, zone out, and recover. See if you can add your second 60-60-30. Get to work on this stuff, and I'll talk to you again next week.